Now, of course, according to the old tradition, as we sit here, Father Christmas must be becoming about the most stressed that he ever gets throughout the year. Of course, around midnight on Christmas Eve, he's supposed to be the very busiest time for him. I just hope that with the credit crunch, that hasn't affected him too much, and there aren't too many disappointed boys and girls here in Ferriby or anywhere else. But I read recently that there's a theory that good old Santa must really be a woman. Now, before you think that that's just some sort of extreme feminist revision of history, just think about it. Men can't pack a bag. Men don't answer letters. Men would rather die than be caught wearing red velvet. And men aren't interested in stockings unless someone else is wearing them. Men refuse to stop and ask directions when they get lost. And finally, men don't think about getting Christmas presents until Christmas Eve, when of course it's too late. Well, all of that may be fantasy, but as we sit here approaching another Christmas, the credit crunch that I mentioned earlier is certainly not imaginary. Who would have thought this time last year that we would have faced the global financial crisis that has had such an effect, and we're told is likely to hit us even harder in 2009? Well, one of the perplexing things for the majority of us who aren't experts is that no one really seems to know what to do about it all. And so the old economist jokes are being revived. Question: why did God create economists? Answer: in order to make weather forecasters look good. Question: why was astrology invented? Answer: so that economics could be seen as an accurate science. Well, financial matters are a subject that the Apostle Paul was addressing in that second letter to the Corinthians that we read from earlier. It is, as he writes, about 20 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, and a financial crisis has hit the early Christians in Jerusalem. And the Apostle is talking to these Christians in Greece, encouraging them to have a whip round to support the Christians in Jerusalem. And to inspire their generosity, he uses the example of Jesus. And what we have is a Christmas message that speaks powerfully as to why Jesus came to this world. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ," he writes, "that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." So we can see first of all then that Jesus, though incredibly rich, has become poor for us. The baby that we remember at Christmas had been rich beyond imagining. In heaven, he had been fabulously wealthy as the maker and ruler of the world. And yet his riches were not just what he rightfully owned, everything, but also what he experienced. The eternal Son of God, the God the Son from all eternity, was in relationship with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And that relationship was so profound to his being, so important that it made him spiritually rich. Our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich. And yet, says the Apostle, for your sake he became poor. In Mary's womb, God the Eternal Son became human. And on that first Christmas day, he was born as a baby into poverty. And he came into a world that was broken because of human mutiny against our Maker. A world where, to look no further than today's BBC website, sees an 18-year-old girl die after being shot in the eye with an air rifle. An economic downturn which threatens the jobs of 3,500 more high street shop workers. A world where 4 teenagers are charged with manslaughter following a house fire where a 93-year-old woman dies. And a world where a crazed dictator is seemingly single-handedly ruining a once prosperous African nation. We've already sung this evening, "Sacred infant, all divine, what a tender love was thine, thus to come from highest bliss down to such a world as this." You see, at the heart of Christmas is the incredible love of God that he should come into our world himself in Jesus. as someone has put it, history is littered with examples of men who wanted to become gods, but only one example of God becoming man. Now that God, that's a God in Jesus, though he was rich, became poor for us, is just amazing. It shows that God is actually screaming at us as the human race that he is here. He has gone to the extent of becoming one of us in order to show us. Now that's something that the increasingly militant neo-atheists that we hear so much of at the moment seldom seem to engage with their own brand of godless belief system. But it also shows us that God shares our experiences with us. Whatever we go through, whatever you have gone through this year, whatever the new year holds, because God has become a human being in Jesus, it means that he knows just what it's like to be you, to be me. Our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. But we also see in this Christmas message that was given in a financial crisis that Jesus, through his poverty, can make us spiritually rich. Now, this year marks the 20th anniversary of the West End debut of Willie Russell's play Shirley Valentine. You might have seen the later film with Pauline Collins and Tom Conti. Now, in the play, Shirley remembers with affection the experience of her son Brian as a child in a school nativity play. Now, Brian had desperately wanted to play Joseph in the play, but he was given the more minor part of the innkeeper instead. But he was rather wounded by this, and so sulkily he waited for a suitable moment to take his revenge. On the night of the play, with the school hall packed with teachers and proud parents, Mary and Joseph came towards him and delivered their familiar line, "Is there any room at the inn?" And instead of saying no and offering the stable, little Brian Valentine saw his opportunity to steal the show. And with a broad smile he said, "Yes, plenty of room, come right in." Of course, that was pretty much the end of the nativity play. But you know, there's something of that little boy in all of us. If all the world's a stage, then God our Creator wrote the play. He designed the set, and he is the producer as well. Our role is to live as he designed us, to live in grateful, trusting cooperation with him. That's the best way to be, after all, he made us. But we're not content with that. We'd rather be ourselves in God's place. And as we all behave like that, there's no wonder that the world is as it is. But there's something more even serious, even more serious. The Apostle Paul tells us in the reading, our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. You see, the implication is that without Jesus we are all spiritually poor. That's because we're disconnected from the God who has made us and loves us. What we desperately need is someone who can afford it to spiritually bail us out and make good our debts with God. Now the poverty of Jesus' early life on earth was clear. No hygienic maternity unit with medics on hand for him. Jesus was born in what was probably a smelly, rough animal shelter. He experienced his first sleep outside the womb in a cow's timber feeding trough. And yet this physical poverty was nothing compared to the poverty that he experienced 30-odd years later when he died on a cross. Jesus became spiritually poor, as that which had been his greatest riches, that unbroken relationship with God the Father, was broken as he paid for our mutiny against God. And yet it was through this poverty that he can make others rich towards God. I wonder if you've ever thought about it, that it's perhaps rather strange that the first thing that many people do on Christmas Day is remember Easter. Almost all churches, when they gather tonight or tomorrow, will share bread and wine to recall that the baby of Bethlehem went on to become a man who died to pay off our spiritual debts and replenish our spiritual account with God. As we sang in the first Noel, Jesus, who hath made heaven and earth of naught, and with his blood mankind has bought. Now, if you'd like to know more about what's involved in receiving those spiritual riches that we desperately need on the basis of the poverty that Jesus experienced, well, then I have several little booklets that explain things further. It's called The Real Christmas. Now, they've been bought specially for this year, so if you'd like to take one at the door, you'd be very welcome to do so. Well, a week after the terrible events of September the 11th, 2001, a CNN reporter was at Ground Zero in New York. There were ruins everywhere. As the camera panned around the ruins, it lingered in a room a few stories up where the floor was still intact. One wall only was standing, and on the wall was a picture. And it was a picture of Jesus. Now, as the reporter saw it, he was stunned. My goodness, he stuttered. No need for words there. The camera remained for some time on the portrait of God the Son from all eternity who had been born in Bethlehem. You could easily have missed it, but it was there. The rescuer was in the rubble. Now, this Christmas, some are saying that our economy is not far from ruin after the financial turbulence of the last year. But when others were facing an economic crisis, they were given a message very appropriate for Christmas. The message we've been looking at tonight. Jesus, though rich, became poor for us. God has come in Jesus, sharing our experience, being with us in what is sometimes the metaphorical rubble of life. And Jesus, through the poverty of his death, can make us spiritually rich if we trust in him. He is the rescuer in the rubble. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich.